The Frame Center Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Frame Center Podcast, where we're talking about all things framing, all things art related on the South Shore, and you know, who knows what else we'll talk about. I'm Dave.
And I'm Scott. Thanks for listening, everybody. Today we have joining us Mr. Sean Goss. Back again, part two.
Yeah, back for round two.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast, Sean. What's happening?
Yeah, what's new?
Yeah, not much, just working. Summer's not the busiest.
Yeah, things are a little quiet over at Goss Photo during the summer days.
August. Everybody's on vacation.
Well, then when they get back, I'm sure you'll be busy with all the vacation photos and this or that from trips and things like that. So.
And all the kids going back to school.
Yes.
Tons of pictures of kids getting on the school bus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you do a lot of those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Glad to see that's still a staple since my childhood.
That's funny. That's one of the ones you see, everybody on Facebook, everybody on social media posting the first and the last.
It's the only time the clothes are still going to look as good when the people actually, and the parents bought their kids those clothes. After that, it's going to be downhill from there. So
people know what to expect for Free Frame Friday, the first
week of
September.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
There you go.
Easy one. September's easy. Free Frame Friday, pictures of kids going to school. Yeah, definitely easy.
Yeah.
It makes my life a lot easier for sure.
Hey, well, at least there'll be new photos up there to steal. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, keep an eye out, Sean. You see some good ones, you want to collaborate somehow with, the Goss Photo Free Frame Friday.
Oh, for sure.
We can definitely make that happen.
There you go. That'll be nice.
Rocking the Frame Center tie dye too. Speaking of summer attire,
it looks good.
Looks
black.
Good on you. Yeah. Get a lot of compliments on the ride.
Something
over?
Other than black.
A lot of compliments on that. Yeah.
Little change,
The kids love it. The kids. Tara was shocked.
Yeah. Who's this person walking through our door?
Did you bring one back for her?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
I will.
Yeah,
I'll see if I can get Tara in something other than a black T-shirt.
Yeah, a little, a little Goss Photo, Sean and Tara.
You got any merch that we can rep on there? I'm just.
I can make some.
There you go.
Nice.
We'll do a little crossover event there. That'll be nice.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you haven't been totally, non-busy. You helped us judge the Hanover Day show about a month or so back.
Yep.
That
was a fun little show. We got, what were there, 30 pieces in that?
No, it was over, we had, I think it was, 50, final count was 55?
55.
Yeah. Not including the couple pieces you had to show that, why we had you as the judge.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It instills confidence.
Nice.
Any of those pieces jump out at you that you can remember off of the top of your head there?
I like Nolan's. I've seen that one before, too. Which I think Nolan won first place.
He got first. Yeah. I believe it was first place on that setup for the, I think it was color photography or photography on that one. So,
yeah. And then Eva Cass's bag is that little thing sweet that she had.
Which one was that?
The three-dimensional piece? The one with the kind of like oblong handle that was almost like kidney shaped and then it was like red and tan. Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah, she's always put together really cool pieces. There's some good black and white stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a few weeks.
True. No,
I
just
see
in
a
case.
Lot of pictures.
You've seen some more since then? Yeah.
It's like somebody asking us that hasn't been here for 3 years, do you remember the frame I put on my picture? No.
Don't. Oh, that happens.
Yeah, we got the other one coming up, too. What's that? The one we're working with, the Instagram?
The IG South Shore.
IG South Shore, yeah. And you've worked with those guys for a while, or?
I've worked with Susan Hagstrom, and I worked with her a lot, and then I know they came to try and put something together where I'm printing in your framing for that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which will be a cool, hopefully a good show.
Yeah.
Hoping we can get a good amount of people to do it.
Well, that's good. There's like the control aspect of it that like right. we don't have to worry about yeah.
Exactly.
You're dealing with the problems when people come in with things that are wrong size and like not formatted right.
One of my good customers who already should know these things has come in with stuff the wrong size. So
I can't
remember. Fix it too often. They know you'll fix it.
Did we, like, I talked to her briefly about some ideas on that, and were we, is it going to be two different sizes, or is it just one size?
They might be doing two. Maybe they're doing 11-14 or a square, and then maybe like a 12-18 or something.
Oh, kind of like how the outside of the box used to be, where it was all one size, so it was more about what the art was and not the different sizes being something that took away from everybody. So,
I think that was the initial idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Instagram is now not just it's not just square formats?
No, I think it's like a 4x5 if you want to do something vertical.
Yeah.
And then if you want to put something horizontal, you have to like white box it,
zoom
it out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so that one will be, that should be fun. Yeah, I mean, and Kel's judging that one, right?
Right. And yeah, Kel's judging it. And I think it's going to be at the brewery down
in
Situate.
Is it Untold Brewery?
Untold, yep.
Oh, when's that happening then?
I don't like have a rough paper in front of me.
A rough.
I'm gonna pull it out because Claude posted that one on Instagram the other day. So I think we can.
I did as well.
Quickly search the phone and track that down.
Who's gonna beat it?
That's gonna. That's I'm trying, but I'm finding stuff about your show on here. You know, Nancy Colella's show coming up.
It is September 10th.
Oh, okay. September
5 p.m. Untold Brewing.
Jeez, a month away then, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. When are all the frames getting done on that?
September 9th.
At your department?
September 9th.
September 9th. Yeah. The day before.
Yeah, since we, I'm guessing that that's all getting dropped off on the week.
We work best under pressure. And we know this.
You, Dina, Mark,
oh, yeah,
Matt, Caleb are all off. Yeah, that's probably how that's going to shake.
Blame the
out.
School system. I got to go home and watch my children.
I would imagine that's how it's going to shake out. It's going to be the last week in September. I mean, the last week in August that they could all get dropped off when we are a little understaffed. But
yeah. If you need help assembling them, you can call me.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it'll all shake out all right.
Worst comes to worst, I'll stick the kid out back with his Nintendo Switch and I'll come in. It won't be a problem.
But that one should be fun. I think we're gonna have it should have like a nice uniform look. Is that group someone you dealt with a lot of people from that group, or just Susan, or
just Susan for the most part?
Yeah.
Is there a theme that goes along with that one at all, or is it like just whatever subject matter you want? Like it's not like just
South
like
Shore.
It is all images of the South Shore then. Okay.
Yeah, so I think they're calling it Scenes of the South Shore.
So. That would make sense then. You know, if it was pictures of the North Shore, we'd have problems.
So you've done a lot with Kel, too, or?
Just a little bit. I think you guys initially sent Kel to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For
one of the shows he was doing.
Yeah.
I want to say you guys sent him down to me first.
We send a lot of people your way, Sean. I don't know.
It was either you guys or it was Hunts. Hunts might have sent him down, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I communicate with him a bit. I mean, he does a lot of like stuff that's printed on like wood, you know, like a lot of like things.
Yeah,
on
he does
wood.
Like the wood and the metal.
There's a lot
and
of
stuff
draft
like
wood.
Oh,
cool. Great stuff. I have one of his pieces on metal, and then he had mounted it with like the standoffs onto like a piece of like a big piece of like driftwood. Is like a really interesting piece. It's
cool.
One of the few that I have that hang on the wall that don't have a frame around them.
Yeah.
He does some really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does some things. We did a Black Friday sale type thing with him, like where he had some canvases. So we did like a couple set frame sizes, like, you know, just like a black 16, and a white.
24.
Yeah, no, these ones were big. These ones were bigger. I think they were like 20-30s maybe, or
it might have been the images that were 16-24.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing I remember when I first met him. Everything had to be 16-24.
Yeah, likes that format.
Yeah,
but he's a good guy. Good. He has a nice studio. He's down in Kennedy's, I think.
I think so,
I've been meaning to get over to his new space. I'd been to his space years ago when he was in Situate Harbor. But he's got a good, I think he's got that Situate market cornered.
Yeah. Oh, he does.
So that should be a fun one. I was going back and forth with him the other day. I'm trying to get an address from him for a Free Frame Friday, job that I have put together, and calling in the big guns. I've had to call in a lot of people for some addresses. I had to get one from you the other day.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
So we're working on it.
Expanding the influenced area there. Yeah. Can't go through the old yellow pages and stuff anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But you're used to helping a lot of people, John, especially speaking of Nolan. You know, from what he was saying, you got him. You were helping him out when he first was getting started, when he dropped in.
Nolan's like pretty new to photography,
right? Yeah, only the last couple of years. He got started during COVID, right? He picked it up as a hobby.
Yep. Yeah, and he's still young, so he has plenty of time.
Yeah.
But he has a good eye for stuff. I kind of like. I don't want to say like mentor's the wrong word for
no,
him, but like gave him like
pointers,
advice
tips.
Advice on equipment, different things you can do, editing tips, stuff like that. A lot of storage tips, which is what a lot of people run into when they first get into it, storing all your digital files and like how you're going to manage your workflow and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I went through his website after we had our interview here from the Hanover Days thing and checked out his pieces. I mean, I know he specializes in a lot of the automotive shots, but then he's got the drone shots from all his nature scenes and things like that, and they're...
His drone stuff is cool.
Like the overhead shot of the lighthouse straight down. It's not a view typically you see, or, from over jagged rocks that nobody can usually stand on to take a photograph because the waves are crashing up or anything. You can't usually get that angle unless you're on a boat, you know. It's, interesting to see stuff from a different perspective than normal.
And drones have, like, given people that ability.
Right.
Which is what's really cool.
Yeah.
Unless you crash them.
Then it's an expensive hobby.
I think Nolan actually lost one of his drones in the ocean a few weeks ago.
Really?
Not only photographer, but pilot as well. Yeah.
Hey, so what, when you talk about the storage stuff, Sean, what's the tip? I mean, that people are getting hung up on. I would imagine, like, since you can take like 1,000 photographs right now, in
minutes. Yeah. So one of the problems that I see a lot of people do is like if you're going to buy like a new laptop.
Yeah.
You know, like Apple will offer like a MacBook Pro with only 256 gigs worth of like flash storage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard part with something like Apple in general is if you want to upgrade that storage, it ends up costing a lot. So a lot of people will cut corners in that respect on the computer end.
Yep.
But then have no place to store anything. And if they're doing that, they're using either, like, external drives that have to drag around.
Yep.
Which makes things somewhat easy, but if you have multiple of them, it can be a real pain.
Yeah. If you don't label them, or if you
misplace
one, you're lost, you know.
You know, you go somewhere, and then, you don't have it with you.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do?
Or you forget the cord that runs between the two, or.
You know, so, like, your options are... You know, do you want to do that? Do you want to do some sort of cloud storage?
Yeah, is cloud storage a better option, or is it?
Depends. I don't really do any cloud storage personally.
Any reason? This is all like way out of my wheelhouse.
With cloud storage, you're basically storing everything on somebody else's computer, and that just never sat right with me.
Yeah,
I can understand that. Yep.
So, like, I use NAS drives, which is like network attached storage.
Mm-hmm.
And I use, like, backup drives, but I try and make redundant copies. The hard part is I just buy a lot of storage.
Yeah.
So, like, my NAS drives are 36 terabytes a piece.
Yep.
So, like, they'll hold more than I would need at any given time.
Right.
And if I fill those, it's been long enough that it's not, like, I'm buying a new drive every month.
Yeah. So that's a big business, right? Because I think I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about, like, how they're trying to, like, make, like, these... Like, just the data storage centers, and they're trying to do them, like, all green, so they're doing them, like, I think the thing I was listening to, they're talking about in Montana.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, so they're using, like, what, like a dam, so it's, like, water, was that water power?
Right, and, I mean, those, like, the server units that are going to, like, store stuff for, like, Google Drive or any of those,
yeah.
I mean, you're talking 10-story buildings that are drying.
Yeah.
you know, if you think you run in an AC all summer as a bad electric, like these are, they draw a ton of power to keep those servers up and running, and they keep them up and running 24/7.
So when they have something like, so how many, I mean, like, opposed to like a computer, like how many computers worth of photographs are you storing, would somebody be storing in something like that? And like, what's that cost wise? Like monthly cost, yearly cost?
They usually like break it down like monthly. Like I know like Dropbox is like one that everybody uses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so that's a storage thing too. I thought it was just for sending stuff.
You can use it as storage and stuff like that. And it all depends on like how much you want to do. So like, I think it's like $100 a year. You get a terabyte worth of storage.
Yeah.
Which for the average person and maybe the person who shoots casually, you'd be able to get away with a terabyte worth of storage.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you fill it, you can offload old stuff that you might never touch again. But if you're in the business of creating images and you're doing it frequently, or like a wedding photographer or something like that, you're going to chew through that kind of storage like crazy.
Oh, sure.
So it's just a...
It's after a terabyte.
Two terabytes. But in stereo.
After a terabyte, you go to like a petabyte, which is
petabyte. Mm-hmm. Nice.
And like petabyte server racks are something I would love to have, but you know they're also $10,000. So
right,
like,
exactly.
But that's
so. What's something like that? Is that just like a gigantic computer? Is it
essentially?
And it stays on there if you turn it off, or is it going to, like, stay plugged in and, like...
Oh, no, you can shut it down just like you would. Like, mm-hmm. a server is basically just a bunch of hard drives put together with a little computer that runs it.
Manages it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
I mean, so this could be a four-hour podcast just on how hard drives...
Yeah. Which, like, I'm sure that would be super interesting. But I mean, I just have a couple basic questions.
Yeah, here. I mean, it's basically, like, your options would be on the computer... on an attached storage device, whether that's a portable hard drive or like a desktop hard drive or a network storage that you keep at home or a cloud-based storage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those are like your main options, and trying to choose the best one is going to vary from person to person.
Yeah, but then you also have to have more than one, right? Because what happens if something happens to that, right?
So you come to me and I charge you money to recover your hard drive.
try to fix it, yeah.
That's the side hustle.
Well, we were looking at some new external hard drive type of things, and
you'd want to look at like
someone who knows much better than me, our fill-in producer today, Claude suggested using the two, and I think it's to duplicate the images so that if something was to happen to one of them, the house burns down and
So
a master file somewhere.
Or you could look at like a network one, which would plug into your router so you could like wirelessly upload to it from anywhere.
Yeah, then it becomes a localized cloud storage.
A lot of those
so that's like kind of creating your own cloud storage?
Yeah, it's like your own personal cloud. Yep. But then like anything you have, like you could probably get one that's big enough to also back up all the stuff like for your regular business records that you have as well. Mm. So, like, there's different ways to set it up.
So, like, our customer files for, like, when we placed orders, so in case something ever happened to our main PC.
That's why we go through a ton of storage at my shop, because, we deal with 3,000 people and all their pictures. On
Ever since we started adding the photographs to all the orders, storage went way up,
Yes, you hang on to the photographs for all of those people? Or
depends on what it is. It depends on what it is. So, like, when we do, I do a lot of, like, artwork reproduction.
Yep.
And so, like, anything that I do, like, custom work to produce, I'll usually keep.
Yep.
If it's, I just need a 4x6 picture of this. It stays in our server for a couple weeks and then automatically kicks it out.
Yep. Gotcha.
So it all depends how long I have it. All depends on how busy we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like in the middle of January, I could have a picture for 3 months.
Yep.
Where during December, I might have something for 2.5 weeks.
Okay, if you got your system to automatically scram something as soon as it's been, there for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm. So how do you handle that? So if I come in with a bunch of pictures and you make copies or something for me, you kind of have them for a month, do you end up sending the people like the digital files too, or is that
if it's something,
an add-on?
So if it's something where you wanted me to like scan and produce images for you, like if you gave me hard copies and you wanted digital files or you wanted copies of them, I would no problem send you like the digital files of them. And you'd have the other print copy. But like that sort of stuff, I don't necessarily hold on to forever because storage gets expensive.
Right. Yeah. So this would be like something like you did for Josh Ford, where he brought in his paintings, you shot them, digitized them, made them so he had a catalog available for himself, and then...
Yeah, so like a lot of like the artwork reproduction customers that I do, I have like on my network storage, like their name, the work we did, so like the files that they have, and a lot of those will do multiple orders of one thing.
Right.
So, you know, they could call and say, hey, I need more, like four more of this one.
Yep.
And I can look it up and find it and just print right from there.
Exactly.
On top of that, I do give them the files as well.
So in they case have
something happens to my system.
Exactly.
Then there's another backup.
Yep. And as you go, it's redundancy. That's nothing wrong with having something with that kind of, with that set up.
Yep.
But yeah.
And I mean, that's the same thing as, you know, like, 3 years later, oh, do you guys have this frame that you guys made for me? You know, like, we luckily, run into that, like, oh, you made this picture for me a couple of years ago. Do you still have it? Depends on what it is.
Yeah. And they say a couple of years ago, and you look back, and it's 2014.
Right. That does happen a lot. A couple of years ago, as I get older, seems to be longer and longer.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago is still 2010.
I was just going to say,
You know, like, I remember when Finding Nemo came out pretty well, so, like,
yeah.
That seems like a few years ago, but no, it was, like, 18.
Yeah, yeah, really. Right? I know, it's scary, yeah. Still think the 90s are, you know, 10 years ago, and they're not, but...
Oh, yeah, it's giving you more time to, look at photographs, qualify yourself as a judge, you know, now we have your show.
I was going to say, yeah, you got your own pieces all put together there now.
Yep.
A little transition from the judging to the, you know, an actual somewhat of a solo show over here.
Yep.
And is there any rhyme or reason to what pieces you decided to put up?
Yeah. Any theme going on there, or just kind of what you want to display? Kind of a nice mix of your pieces.
It's just a good mix.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the landscape stuff or the wildlife stuff is older for the most part.
Sure.
Where the 4x5 like portrait work is what I've been working on lately.
Yeah.
Is that what the wall of the portraits is that?
Yep, those are all shot.
Is that just a series you're working on, or is that?
Yeah, there's like sort of a theme to it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's all like a fine art headshot that is emotional and powerful, but
exactly.
They're all shot with 4x5 film on the old school camera where you pull the blanket over your head so you can focus. And
oh, really?
The old hood and flash powder?
No flash powder.
No flash powder?
I don't want to deal with that.
What where are you getting the for the shoots like that? Where you find the subjects?
Anybody who's interested.
Yeah. Yep.
Or if like you know, like two of those people on the wall are like friends of mine.
Yep.
And that's sort of like where it started. It was like, oh, hey, I want to try this.
Yep.
And then from taking their picture, it moved on to like, oh, like let's find other people who might be interested in it.
Sure.
It's
a great grouping. It looks like it's almost like it was set up as a series, even if you're saying it's split.
It's, I mean, they're all taken, you know, sometimes months apart. Mm-hmm. So there's not really a focus, but like the style that I shoot them in is pretty much the same.
Yeah,
most of it.
Well, because you got some straight on, then you got the guy with the beard and the 3/4 profile shot, which I liked. It's almost all shadow with just highlights popping that one.
I did a few shots of him. The hard part was, you know, like he made a goofy face when he was facing me straight on. So like,
look away.
Yep.
But it's funny because the one actually, the girl with the makeup running on her face and then the shawl. There was something about it that was, I'm like, why does this shot look like I've seen it before? And it finally struck me. It was the old cover they used to use for National Geographic from like 1985.
Oh, the woman in the girl with the green eyes.
Yes. Cause it's the eyes. That's what kept hitting me, was her eyes in that shot was that same kind of intense look, even though it's in that black and white medium, it's still, you know.
Right. And I think that might be the only one where someone's actually making like eye contact with me as well.
Yeah, the other ones are kind of like almost in a semi head up tilt or,
head up,
you know.
Or like looking away or looking off to the side. Mm-hmm. Looking up. One of the things when you're shooting with like the 4x5 and I'm not using strobes or anything like that is it takes a while to actually like capture that image. So they have to. It
you
has
can't
to be,
move, right?
They have to be still.
Yeah.
So like, you have to make something. It has to be like a position they can hold. And for the most part, V is the one that was like looking straight on. She was the only one that could like look straight
like
on without like
staring
breaking
contest,
into
yeah.
laughter or like something like that. So.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah, because I remember that's how it used to be with the old photos. Like you couldn't move for like what was it? It's over a minute, right? That you gotta.
Sometimes these are, you know, like 15th of a second. Sometimes maybe 30th of a second.
Oh, okay, so it's not that bad, but
no,
like the old ones where it's like you can't.
No, because I'm shooting these pretty wide open.
That's why like, nobody used to smile in the old photos. It's like because you can't hold it in the exact same position for that long.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You're with the movie references today.
Hey, it's
a Million Ways to Die in the West.
Thank you. See again. He gets me.
I'm a movie nerd. It happens.
Yeah. But no, it's because again, that's how I know about it. Again, is you know, movie and cinema.
Yeah, and like we're like I'm
how
using,
accurate that is.
It's pretty accurate. So yeah. Like I'm using a higher speed film than would have been available back then.
Sure.
So
true,
like
true.
The amount of time it takes to capture the image is a lot less than it would have been 100 years ago.
It's like silver nitrate or something along those lines, that kind of stuff. Tinplate, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Like daguerreotypes, where you're painting it onto the thing, then you got to develop it right away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to get into like tintype stuff, but it's just a lot of work.
It is. Yeah. It's involved.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of chemicals. I mean, not that I don't deal with them every day anyway.
True.
Just adding to it is just more. There's just more you need. More. So I already have to like schedule time to do anything.
The tint.
So like, it's just more to schedule. And
sure.
More to be on top of.
The tintype. So we hung a bunch of those down in Island Creek.
Mm-hmm.
When me and Mike were helping out on that remodel down there when they took over the Windsor House, and those are kind of like those are interesting. But these ones were mostly small.
Yeah,
most
of them would be up to like maybe an 8x10.
And it's just it's just to try to look like an old type of. It kind of has like an old like negative type of feel to it.
So they
from an unexperienced.
Were they real ones or were they reproduction ones?
I have no. These ones were like current shots done on the like.
Okay,
done as
yeah.
The
there's some people who still do them. Like the camera that I have out with those portraits.
Yeah.
You'd be able to do a tintype on those.
Yeah.
With the right plate holder.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is basically you take your piece of metal, you paint it with the chemistry, then you have to shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And then develop it right away.
Yeah, there's no time in between.
So, like, there's no, like, with the black and white film I use, I can shoot it and I can develop it a week later. It doesn't
yeah,
really
right.
matter, you know, so, like,
yeah, I'm thinking these ones were, like, things that they had as real photographs and then they just turned them into, they kind of transferred them.
Did, like, the metal printing and, you can do that as well and sort of, like, fake a tintype.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, and there's different types of metal printing that you can do, whether or not you have, like, a white base or you have, like, the raw metal base, which will give it even more of that look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get that, like, shimmer metal kind of
these ones have, like,
there.
A sepia type of tone.
Yeah.
Like the H look. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they might have, like, reproduced, like, to give it the old look versus, like, finding old ones, which we get a lot of the old ones from different town historical societies and stuff when they want to like copy things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing a lot of reproductions for the historical societies?
Different ones. We run into, I did a bunch for Rockland. I did a bunch for, I want to say Scituate brought us a bunch too.
Yeah.
We've had a few different towns.
Yeah.
Like,
we're framing a bunch of maps, like that sort of thing. Like, you know,
A lot of towns are doing refits on, you know, kind of, changing up their offices and reestablishing what they want to, you know, have put up, and so
some have been closed long enough; no one remembers what it looks like. So
there's
you
also
just
that
change
too.
It up when you go back in; it's all different.
Mm-hmm. So those cameras that are in there are actually active. I thought they were all.
Most of the ones that are out there work.
Yeah.
The old Polaroid.
The old Polaroid. I was wondering about that one. Yeah.
You can't. Well, if you can find the film, it's way too expensive, so don't even bother. That's really what it comes down to.
Not cost effective to use.
Yeah. I think a pack of 10 was selling for like $200.
Oh, is that all?
Like, and they're not amazing.
Right. Yeah. But you miss the sensation of, you know, making it dry that actually did nothing for it, that didn't help it accelerate it at all. Or
don't shake it.
Yeah.
Like a Polaroid picture. It doesn't do anything.
It's a myth. But, I mean, talking about, like, you know, shutter speeds and development speeds and things along those lines, you were talking to me about the waterfall shots that you had out there and getting those. You said you did a longer exposure on those to capture. What's the difference between the longer exposure on something like that than just a single click?
You know, it can all be tied back into like the portraits as well, where anything that moves is going to blur.
Right. Like the water, you can see it's got that clouded, kind of almost looks like a cloud.
And like there's a few of the trees with like the wind blowing, you know, the leaves aren't all like
pristine and
like
clean.
Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So like the big thing with that is you want a tripod.
Yeah, you can't hold that. And,
right.
You know, because it's
going to everything would be blurry.
You know.
So like since the water's moving and it gives it that sort of like silky, dreamy effect.
Okay. So that's what it is. It's an effect. Versus a, you know, just a crisp image kind of setup, right? Okay.
Yeah, and that's like the wave breaking. It kind of gives that sense of motion.
Sure. Because I know we also get the people that bring us in those ones from like the desert where they do the night sky shots, and those have to be on a long exposure to capture.
Those are on like a long exposure or multiple exposures put together.
Right.
I never got too into astrophotography.
Uh-huh.
There was like too much software, and I don't...
Sure.
I want to sit at a computer as little as possible, so...
Yeah.
But I know they'll like take like 20 images or 100 images or 250 images, and like they have software that will like remap
like
and
compile and like change where they
right. Because if the exposure is long enough, stars just turn into a circle.
Right.
In the sky.
Really?
Because,
a circle? Huh.
Yeah, the Earth's spinning.
Hmm.
So like as you spin around, the clouds and everything.
Oh, you mean they're gonna turn like a streak effect?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I was waiting for like a.
No, if you leave it long enough, though, it'll look like basically like a streak rainbow like, across the sky,
nice.
Like, all the way across.
Yeah.
We used to do some of that. Like it's tougher with digital because like the cameras will eat the batteries up if you try and
get
long enough exposure. But like an old film camera, when I lived out west, we used to just set them in the middle of the field, like go home. Cook dinner, hang out for eight hours, go back, pick them up in the middle of the night. You know, like go from like essentially once it gets dark and then pick them up at like 6 a.m.
Awesome, yeah.
That's right. You were out west too for a while. So what is that where the nature shots are like? Are those from?
Yeah, the deer one you were telling me about.
So the deer is in Texas,
yeah.
Kerrville, Texas. I was out there. That's actually one of the more recent, like, wildlife shots that I've taken. That was...
It's a great shot.
4 years ago?
Preference? Wildlife? Portraits? Cars?
Probably... Recently, it's probably been, like, race cars and portraits.
Yeah.
You know, landscape stuff comes around when I'm not around here.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
You've seen it all already.
I've shot stuff around here for so long, and I see it.
I was gonna say
all
you must
like
develop it all day long,
right.
too.
Like Duxbury Bridge. And...
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen a couple.
I've never seen Powder Point Bridge from this angle. It's
but,
funny,
you know, like so. A lot of the stuff around here, I work with so many different photographers or people like coming up and getting into it that the scenery around here I see so much that I don't. Feel compelled to like go create something again, or I've seen it enough that it's like it's just you know it's like not that it. I don't want to like discredit it by any means.
No.
As far as like my interest in like creating images,
there's no spark anymore.
Right, like of like the ocean around here and stuff. Occasionally, I might like go out and like get something cool, but like
lighting or atmosphere might change how it looks.
Right.
You know?
You know, like, I know, like, a lot of people that were talking to me today because it's, like, the last supermoon of the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and,
So you're tuned into that, huh? So everyone's getting prepared.
Everybody's been asking me about it. Like, you know, like, oh, like, how do we do it? Like, what do we want to use? Like, if anybody wants to shoot the supermoon, it's probably about ISO 400, 80th of a second at F8. And then work from there on your settings to get it right. And a really long lens.
Yes. Yes. The iPhone camera will not do.
No.
No, I tried. It did not work.
But
especially while driving.
You know, so like if I do shoot around here, I try and keep things like sort of not as noticeable. Like the large ocean out there is Brant Rock, but it's not noticeably Brant Rock. Like you know,
right.
the sub towers and stuff aren't in there.
Right. There's no identifying landmark in it that you know.
You want the ocean to be anywhere, right?
So right. The,
so
exactly.
Yeah. You know, so anyone can relate, right?
Anytime. I mean, it's all rocky, so it's definitely New England. But like,
yeah.
I'd love to walk barefoot across that stone pebble. It'd be
of
great.
Of course, that's Minded Beach.
Yeah. But like, yeah. So like, I don't. probably stick to a lot of like the cars and the people like as of late.
Sure.
I shoot a lot of weddings. I enjoy shooting weddings.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Probably one of the few that like actually enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, if you can, you know, if it's a nice positive energy and good time and people aren't sullen and...
And it's a challenge, which is what's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I like about it. Like, I don't... they don't stress me out like they do with a lot of people because there's a lot of, like... There's obviously, like, pressure from the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to use that sort of pressure that's created to actually create something.
Sure.
Rather than, like, let it... like eat you up, which is what's kind of cool about it.
Yeah, even if the place is probably at the same location, same venue.
People are different.
People are different. Their colors are different. They're, you know, like, you know, this person had red and white. This person had blue and yellow. This person had, you know.
Yep.
So you get that situation. You get the different groups of people, how large the wedding is. You know.
Yeah.
So that always changes it up, I'm sure.
Yep. Yeah, and it's a little different than doing something static.
Exactly, yeah.
What about children's portraits? First day of school, yeah. You got one of those coming up, or?
Oh yeah, August 31st.
Nice.
School bus and everything.
Yeah.
All right.
Over like a little overproduced. Yeah.
There will definitely be like an overproduced picture of it. I'm sure. Like, it'll be one of the few times I actually bring a camera back to my house. Like
yeah. That. No, they're usually staying at the, trying to keep them away from home.
I have a lot of cats and a dog and animal hair.
It's kind of funny how they don't really, you know, work with art, do it?
No.
That's why I don't paint watercolors anymore.
I had a large format printer and everything set up at my house a while back to try and, like, produce some work, like, over Christmas and, like, be home a little bit more and, like, do that. And then, like, a cat kept sleeping on the
printer. I was going to say, you mean the warming bed that the cat took that as?
Yeah, and, like, there's nothing like trying to clean cat hair out of a printhead.
Oh, God.
It's not fun.
You blow a whole can of air just trying to move one hair.
So I try and, like, keep that, like, separate, just, like, keep home, work.
Yeah.
And,
you have a controlled environment at work, though.
So right. I mean, at home, I do have, like, I have probably my favorite camera I've bought in the last, like, 10 years is my GoPro.
Oh, really?
Because I take it everywhere.
It's true. Yeah, you can, any situation, you can kind of...
You go to the beach, you can just keep it on your wrist. If it gets wet, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, go to Water Whiz or anything like
that. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a great camera to like kick around with and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, right.
Oop,
I slipped out of my hand.
Right.
You know.
You know, as long as it doesn't sink to the bottom of something I can't swim down, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm surprised those aren't like basically everywhere at this point. Like I kind of think I feel like everything is almost like recorded.
Everything's recorded. Everybody has the phone. I think with like the GoPros and stuff, I think a lot of people buy them and don't use them.
Yeah, at least not properly.
Anyway. I mean, I had my GoPros for a long time before I actually started using them for still pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did, I was like, oh, these files are actually like pretty nice to
pretty
work
decent,
with. Like,
yeah.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
And,
so the GoPros aren't, it's not, it has like a camera and like a video setting? Is
yep.
that, you know?
Yeah, I think like the one I have is like 20 or 18 megapixels.
Hmm. Can you just pull stills out of the video too, or no?
You can, but video, since it's motion and the images you would pull are never that sharp.
Okay.
And the files aren't too big.
So you're like, kind of giving up the clarity.
You're giving up like the clarity and like the ability to blow something up if you pull an image from...
From video.
From video.
Yeah.
For most people, it probably doesn't matter because it'll just they'll look at it on the phone.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but if you ever want to like print any of it or something
yep.
like that, you know, that's my background is printing. So like yep. everything yeah. I like photograph, I always have that like in the back of my mind. Like, oh, if you want to like create something out
yep.
of this, like, you know, will it be able to enlarge? Will it be able to any of that sort of stuff? But like the GoPros are cool because it takes you back to like the simplicity of like almost like the old disposable cameras. You know, they're not designed to like review your pictures and
yeah.
look and make sure you got the right thing right away.
Yeah.
You just kind of like, oh, this is interesting. Take a picture, you know, and then you deal with it later.
Right. Right.
So it almost brings it back to that. It does have a screen so you can see what you're taking a picture of.
A minute like, image of it, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, it gives you that sort of, like...
Oh, good, my thumb wasn't on it.
It lets you, like, be in the moment versus worrying about A, B, C, and D. Which,
gotcha.
You know, like, if you're taking pictures with your phone, It's like, oh, you take a picture. It's like, oh, well, now I got to post it to Instagram. And then while I'm here, I'm going to go flip through this. And then, oh, you wanted something from me? Okay, we'll go back. Like, I'll put this away. You know, like, it doesn't allow you, like, to, like, get out of that when you're doing something fun.
Sure, yeah.
Is it a simple transition to, like, so if you shoot something with the GoPro and you want to post it onto your Instagram or this and that, and is it, like, how's that work? Because I think we have a GoPro. I don't know if we, you know.
Yeah, it's small and compact, which is great. So it makes it a good travel camera,
I don't know how much
right?
we use it. Yeah.
See, people buy them and don't use it.
Yeah. Well, I think that might be the case.
They have an app, so you can, like, have it automatically, like, go to your phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So,
You know, like, they'll sync up when the phone's on and stuff like that. Or, like, I just do it on a memory card, so then, you know, when I get home, I throw it on a computer and deal with it then.
Yep. How much storage does that stuff eat up?
I have 100.
Video. Is that a lot?
Video eats up a ton of space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think 128 gig memory card is, like, an hour and a half of, like, 5K footage from a GoPro. It eats up quick.
Maybe that's why people aren't using them as much, right?
Could be. But people also don't associate a GoPro with a still photo.
No, they think of action shots, taped to a helmet, you know, while someone's skateboarding off a ramp kind of situation, more or a river rafting.
That's how they marketed those.
Exactly.
And I found it better for me anyway to use it just as a point and shoot camera.
So you think it'd be good for, like, a good vacation camera where it's small, durable, and you can use it for pretty much anything.
Yep.
In almost every situation.
There's no zoom or anything to it, but
true. Yeah. But, like, you know, one minute you're riding the roller coaster with the kids at Disney World, next time you're taking a picture with them next to their favorite Disney character, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I just have it, like, on a little wrist strap and I just walk around with it. It's easy.
Like you said, because it's not clunky. The size is relatively small and it's durable. So.
Yep. Yeah, it can be banged around. It's no biggie.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe we'll have you come over, give some lessons, yeah?
I know, you guys got the GoPro, what, like 6 months ago?
Yeah, I think we used it maybe a couple times. Claude?
Yeah, we used it until, like, February. And it's something about, I'm, like, the only one who has the memory thing.
Yeah. We'll figure that out. We're going to start producing GoPro videos. I'm getting one of those helmets.
We'll strap it to the saw blade, so as you do, like, a cut, you know, you get an action shot of the, you know.
You could do it. They have plenty of grip. They have plenty of grips. You can buy, like, a whole pack of them on Amazon for $25. All, like, the different, like, holders and stuff to, like, mount them everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you could set one up so we could actually put it up on top of that shelf right there and angle it at this, and we could actually record each one of these with it and use it for that. So we had a...
Put it on the ceiling.
Tile, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so you have a good angle shot.
Yeah, a downward angle, you know, it gets rid of, like, any of this.
Oh, what are you talking about? That's what they're going to grow the beard out for. Gets rid of the double chin.
All right. Yeah, more footage of the podcast. Get this GoPro set up, you know. When you come back for your third visit, we'll have you set up the GoPro first.
Yeah.
Hey, anytime. I'll do it.
Sounds good.
So how do you, when you have, like, a collection of those photographs or when you're entering things, what do you just find, you know, what's your go-to for deciding on?
For putting it together.
Are you thinking of that show as, like, about how everything transitions, or are you thinking of it as, oh, I got this one framed, so I'm going to use that?
I mean, there's definitely some of that.
Yeah.
I took apart a couple frames to put, like, the coyote and stuff was framed. The access deer wasn't.
Yeah.
But the picture that was in that frame is old and I was bored of looking at it. So.
Yeah. Good excuse to freshen things up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I try and pick out stuff, like, that I like, and generally other people like it when I do that. So, like, that works out well. But I didn't really have a rhyme or reason to it. Because I wasn't creating a show from nothing. Like, I wasn't doing anything, like, themed or something like that. If there was a theme to it, obviously, I'd, like, pick stuff out that sort of, like, resembles that theme. But on the topic of storage, mine is a little disorganized for some of the other stuff, too. So it took me a while to like find different ones, and then I kind of like figured like what would look good together.
And yeah. Like, okay. Well, because that one wall, like I said, it kind of fills that whole space and just looks like it's meant to be together, which is great.
Yeah, and that's like a project I've been working on over like the last couple of years, like slowly. So like all those files were all like available to me. Like I had a, you know, like all the scans and stuff from the negatives were easily accessible, and it's something I've been meaning to kind of like put together with some of those, and I just haven't. Like the frames that they're in, I think I've had for 2 years and
sure.
never got around to actually putting them together.
Mm-hmm.
So this allowed me to do that.
Yeah.
And then when stuff goes back, I'll probably freshen up my space with them as well.
But that's you like the thinner profile metal frames versus a wider frame on your pieces, right?
Not particularly.
No?
We use that studio 27701, right?
See, I like that frame a lot. Like, that's a good one.
There, you know, nice little step in the front, right?
Yeah, that's a really good frame. The metals actually came from doing a lot of the shows years ago because they're durable.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they get, like, nicked or scratched. I just remember before I started working with you guys a lot, I had you frame two of my flower shots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, they were museum glass, A-ply mats, like... Yep,
those that stuff for
like,
the shows.
You know, they were, like, nice, like, Larson frames, and there's a huge chunk missing out of one of them because
of course,
it got hit.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, that's a $150 piece of molding. That is now trash.
Right, because so, like, there's no fixing that. There's no
So, like, the metals worked really well for doing shows because, one, you can switch the pieces out pretty easily.
Yes.
Without having to cut backing paper.
Just
and
remove
all that
a
kind
single
of stuff.
Side, slide it out.
Take the spring clips out first so you don't crack the glass.
Usually a good step. A lot of people skip that one.
Oh, and you're working with a 40-inch piece of, like, reflection-free glass.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to buy that twice.
New.
Fingerprints. Yeah, because most of those shows have, like, the disclaimer, too, right? Like,
yeah.
Anything happens to your work, well, we have it.
Right.
Too bad. it's kind of surprising that, you know, some of this stuff is handled.
Right.
Behind the scenes in some of the art associations. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, no fault of theirs. I mean, you're dealing with mainly volunteers. But
right.
I think that's, in my estimate, my mind, I think that's one of the benefits that's come out of, like, the, you know, if, you know, so you're not, like, bringing in, like, physical pieces and then having them rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, picking it up, you're damaged. But, like, so right. there's less artwork to be handled. Gives people the opportunity to kind of spend a little bit more on one piece because you know you got your digital submission in.
Right.
Yep.
You know, going from 550 people who need prints and frames, though, down to 30 is always rough.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? At least, like, you know, like,
I'm
everybody...
I'm trying to find the positive of it.
Well, know. Everybody who's getting that work done is happy with it. That's
yep.
the nice part. You know, it's... a lot of people will enter shows, like, on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's just, like, you know, they, like, come up and grab, like, a 16x20 ready-made and,
yep.
like, throw a mat in it and, like, tape it in. It's like, all right, well, you're still into it for $60-$70.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be something they just threw together because why not?
Right.
You know, so, like, spending $60 or $70 on a why not right now is always a little bit tougher than, you know, like, oh, I got in, so I'm going to...
Yep.
Do this piece right,
right
because
exactly.
now it is a showpiece than a potential showpiece.
Right.
So, like, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, there's things to, you know, put in. Like, I would always recommend, like, AR glass over museum glass if you know what's going in a show because it's a little more durable, a little easier
mm-hmm.
to clean. Yeah, the UV protection drops, but it's only going to be up for, what, a couple weeks to a month usually for a show.
And
depending
it still
on
doesn't even
go.
Drop that much.
No,
like,
it's 20%. It's 99 down to 79. So it's still very durable, but also... cost is a little less, but it still has the look of the museum glass, and that makes a difference. And that's when everybody's like, well, it's going to show, I'm like, and I want museum, I'm like, yeah, you can go with it, but, you know, there are, like you said, liability issues with multiple people handling it, cleaning it, and setting it up like that.
I
so.
Mean, even with a nice microfiber cloth of fingerprints, yeah. still a pain to get off.
Exactly. You got to buff that thing like crazy.
You putting in stuff in a lot of the local art associations, too? A lot of shows? Or
I haven't been, just because I haven't produced that much,
yeah.
other than, like, the portrait work and weddings.
Yeah. What about the iPhone show down in Plymouth?
Definitely.
A whole art show, a whole photography.
I know. I've printed stuff for that so
yeah.
far. But I don't think I've ever actually, like, taken a picture with my iPhone of, like, oh, this is, like, a cool scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm driving, and that's, like, a pretty sweet rainbow. It's, like, it's not, like,
Well, what is the most of the stuff that's coming into the store? Is it most of the, is the majority of people's photographs coming off of phones? Yeah,
A good amount. One of the things that's sort of transitioned in photography is you have a lot of the people who are really, really into it are Instagram photographers spending money on like high resolution cameras to lower your resolution and put on Instagram.
All right, you're losing me again. I think we've tried to cover resolution. Like, so how? I thought you had to have a high resolution for the photograph to be good.
No, not at all. You could take a good photo with anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you have like now, like you have people who will zoom a picture up to 100% to make sure, like, oh, like every pore is like perfectly in focus and there's no pixelation around a pore, but you're actually looking at a pore on a waist up shot of a person and no one would ever actually see that.
Yeah. You're right, yeah.
So like the cameras can do way beyond what our eyes will ever capture. Mm-hmm. You know, the big thing with resolution is if you're going to be cropping it in or blowing it up.
Mm-hmm.
The resolution that it takes to produce an image that looks good on a phone or a computer screen isn't that high.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't necessarily need a lot of the gear to do that.
Yes, like everything when it comes over, is it it's like 72 or is that a standard?
72 is like your standard internet resolution. For like pictures that you'd see on like a website, something like that.
But if you're printing something, is it 300?
300 DPI is like a pretty good like average resolution. If you
my limited knowledge of stealing people's pictures off of Facebook and whatnot, it comes off on like 72, and then when I print it, I got to change it to 300. You don't have to.
I mean, it because the dots per inch is also going to depend on the dimensions, the pixel dimensions.
Right.
So like you could have 72 DPI at 1,000 by 1,000, right? Mm-hmm. So now, and let's say that 1,000 by 1,000 equates to 2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
all right.
You have 1,000 by 1,000, and it's 72 DPI. If you make that smaller and you make it 500 by 500, now it's 150 DPI at 500 by 500. So like resolution and dimensions sort of like play onto each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just upping the resolution to 300 DPI doesn't necessarily make anything better sometimes.
Okay.
And sometimes it's better to print at a lower resolution because it won't be as noticeably pixelated.
Gotcha.
Okay. Like any of like the contrast areas where pixelation would happen might be a little bit smoother if you printed at, let's say, 150 DPI versus 300 DPI.
Hmm.
And like your contrast transitions might be a little softer.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you have something that's super pixelated at 300 DPI, and you print it, it's going to be super pixelated.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
If you lower your resolution to maybe 100 DPI at the same dimensions, probably won't look as pixelated when it's printed.
Really?
Or at least it'll be smoother, you know.
So what would the benefit of, like, so why even go to a higher DPI?
large scale, right?
I mean, you would do, like, large scale printing. So like every camera is going to have, like, a native.
Mm-hmm.
When you're pulling stuff from the internet, it's all whatever that site is compressing it to. But like, so like, most cameras today are producing a 16 by 24 at 300 DPI. So anything from a 4 by 6 up to a 16 by 24 at 300 DPI, there'll be no discernible quality difference.
Yep.
Like in your pixelation, in your lines. So it's only when you get over that size that like the DPI will start to drop.
Uh-huh.
And it's a long time before you even get to, like, a noticeable amount by the human eye, anyway.
Hmm.
So when someone wants you to blow up their iPhone picture to, front, like...
2436.
Yeah.
You can do it if the picture has, like, good contrast and everything.
Yep.
And they haven't altered it.
And they haven't zoomed in on
cropped.
The iPhone. You know, if you try and zoom in on a bird on the iPhone and then want to print that big, you know, you're looking at a file that's maybe 3 inches... at 300 DPI. So when you start blowing it up bigger than that, that's where it like comes into play.
Gotcha. You get a lot of that, or?
Yes. Happens a lot.
You've perfected explaining why that's not going to work out well? Or?
It's basically like trying to make a poster out of a postage stamp.
Yeah.
You know, like you're...
That's a good example.
You're not increasing any resolution. You're just stretching it.
Yeah. Right.
So like anything that's going to be a fine line is going to blur.
Yep.
There are some softwares that help with quotation marks around it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they work really well. It depends on the image, and it's really like an image by image basis.
Yeah. What about all the filters on like, you know, like Instagram and
The Instagram ones? Well, Instagram's going to compress your file anyway when you put them up there. So like trying to print anything off Instagram, you get what you get.
Yeah.
And you can usually get, I mean, like 5x5s and stuff work fine. You know, it's not a, it, you know, up to maybe like a 8x8. You're in like okay shape.
Yeah.
Without it looking too bad. If you...
I usually go 5x5 with the Instagram stuff that I'm sending to people. But, you know.
But if you...
Occasionally getting bigger.
If you have like the different apps with filters and stuff, generally there's something for, you know, in-app purchases. So if you get the free one, they probably crush, they would like crush the resolution of the saved file. So like you can't really do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you like buy it, oh, look, now you can actually like print a photo out of this. You know, one of the collage programs that we use, they had a free one, but it's like, you know, like the highest resolution you're going to get is an 8x10.
Yeah, it's like PicJoiner or some of those other ones.
There's a bunch out there. But then when you buy it, it's like, oh, you can make this any size you want now.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, if it's something that you really like, it's always better to buy like the quote-unquote pro version or whatever, not the light version for the $5.
Right, yeah.
You know, if it's something that you would print.
Yeah.
Is that because of the storage? Is it, or that?
Or, no, that's just because they want you to actually pay for it versus getting it for free.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, like, I think BMW is going to start charging people monthly to use seat heaters.
Yes.
You
know, like, I saw that.
Anything they can, like, gouge money
for. I thought that was a joke.
No.
No. It's not a joke. It's sad.
So stupid.
But interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone wants to be in, like, the...
the subscription business. The subscription model.
Yeah. Yeah. God.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you got a favorite in there that anyone should come down and see specifically?
Yeah.
I mean, are you sick of that Wave one? I mean, you've been looking at that for a while.
That one's been on my wall for a long time. So someone come down and buy it.
Buy it.
So I can make something new. I mean, I like the Wave one a lot. Like, the Wave one is cool in person because it's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like the car downstairs. Like, it's huge. Yep. So, it has a presence to it.
Exactly.
Out of everything that's up there, probably because it's also the newest stuff, is, like, the portraits are my favorite.
Yeah.
And, like, the way that wall looks together is awesome.
Yeah.
I kind of knew what it was going to look like before it went up, but, like, they look really good together, actually. Pretty psyched about those.
Yeah.
Do you have good luck with the portraits sell, or is that more of a, yeah?
I don't know. Someone come and prove me wrong, but no one's bought them yet.
No. I mean, I assume you do well with the, you know, like the landscapes, the bridges, you know, like.
Yeah, that sort of stuff sells pretty well.
So the portraits are more like a.
They're like a personal project type thing. And if someone is moved enough to hang one in their house, I will let them do it. You know,
there you go.
But a lot of the landscape stuff, the hardest part I found with like the landscape stuff that I do is a lot of it's printed really big.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have like all three things need to fall in place. One, they want it enough to spend money on.
Yeah.
Since it's big, it costs a lot of money to frame.
Yeah.
You know, and then the third part is you need a wall big enough to hold it.
Yeah.
You know, a 40x60 frame in a lot of houses is too big.
Yeah.
You need a big wall.
You need a dedicated wall for that, something that size.
You know, it's like if you go to Best Buy and you look at a TV and you're like, oh, this 70-inch TV is awesome. And then you get it home and it's the size of the wall in the living room. You're like, oh,
it might be I'll make big. It fit.
Yeah, some people like
I'll
that.
I'll always make it fit. But like...
TV? Not a problem. Yeah. I don't need this bureau.
Room, so I didn't measure first.
I don't use this window very often. It can go in front of it. Yeah, it's a little different for, you know, a portrait piece or a, you know.
Right.
It's supposed to kind of make a room complete, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah, and like the portrait work, I just enjoy it. I would hang it at my house.
Yeah. It's very striking. It's when you walk up the steps, and like I said, it definitely cool captures your eye on that one. Like I said, like I love your other stuff. Like I love the waterfalls. I love those two. I love the island parting through the fog with the little, you know, the building on there you were telling me about.
Oh, the Dr. Island.
The Dr. Island one there, yeah.
Cohasset.
Yeah.
Hull.
Yeah, and then your nature ones, you know, the deer, the coyote. I love those. But there's something about those portrait pieces. Like I said, that one that just, like, it struck something in me. Where I was like, I've seen this for so long. It, you know, made me think of that one picture.
It's, I just like pulling like a powerful personality out of
people. Exactly.
And I feel like that does that pretty well.
Yeah.
In different forms. Like everybody up there has a different feel to it.
There's a different attitude with each of those pictures, you know, that's coming across with each of those ones, you know.
A lot of it's annoyed because they have to sit there and it takes a long time to take one photo. You know, there's a lot of setup involved.
Give me happy. Like, no, that's annoyed. Give me happy.
Yeah, and like since it's all on film, it's a lot of setup for something very anticlimactic afterwards. Because it's like, oh, let's see how it came out. It's like, yeah, you're going to wait. I don't.
Yeah. I'll let you know in a week and a half.
Yeah, like, I won't even know how it came out. Just cross my fingers and hope it did.
Right.
Yeah. Fortunately, I don't have to wait that long because I do have a photo lab. So
it's very true.
I don't have to send them anywhere.
All right. Well, cool. I think that's going to wrap things up for this interview.
Sweet.
You know, thanks for joining us and giving us the time to, you know, go over all these things, pick your brain on a few of these things that we're still quite not sure on ourselves here.
Yeah. Well, certainly, you know, probably we'll have to have him back. You know, we'll keep you coming back.
For part three.
Recurring guest, Sean Goss.
Hey, I'll be around.
Maybe
I'm not going anywhere.
When we get things, you know, nailed down, we can always transition into... You know, trying to make things educational, or you know,
we'll maybe have to discuss
dive in deep into some of the pieces of yours.
Discuss the IG show too.
We get like
discuss which one sold.
Yeah,
you know, I would always be up for like talking with another artist as well.
Yeah,
we can do a crossover. That'd be great.
Yeah, you know, debates.
Like, debates are always fun.
The great dead debate between film and digital. You know,
I mean, I shoot both, so I can.
You've seen both sides of the thing, but I know it definitely makes sense, but. No, that's great. Well, so like, I want to thank everybody for listening in today too, and hopefully you'll turn in for part three when we have part three come out.
Yeah. Well, always good to see you, Sean, and I'm sure that you know we'll probably see you tomorrow. You know?
Yeah, most likely.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. See ya.